Hello and welcome to this podcast. I'm Shumaila Jaffrey and I am joining you on a cloudy morning in Leicester. We are seated at a round table in one of our favorite corners of Adult Education College. And we have arranged this podcast to mark the International Women's Day and to pay tribute to and put a spotlight on the contributions of women in community media. And I am so delighted to have three fantastic women with me. Welcome, everyone. And I would ask each of you to introduce yourselves and tell us about your work and your projects. So who would go first? Neema?
Hi, I'm Neema. I'm a former journalist, a bit of a broadcaster now, and I work with Leicester Stories of Hope, which was set up in 2022.
My name is Helen Petman, and I'm a volunteer editor of the Evington Echo, which is a magazine that goes out to 6,000 people locally, all distributed by volunteers, and it's a community magazine for our actual local geographical area.
Hi, good morning. I'm Bindu, and I'm working with Radio Utsav currently. Past years, since 9 years, I used to work with EYFM as well, and presenting radio show with Hindi and Gujarati program, and also different activities which I do throughout the week and the weekend.
Wonderful. So we have a very good, I would say, panel. It's a formal word, but people with different community media, but very different experiences. So for me, personally, I'd never worked in community media until recently when I started my attachment with the Decentered Media and Source Sound Radio. And my experience has been of working in national and international news networks, huge, big newsrooms, BBC in London, which are, it's a different level of kind of journalism, but also very complicated operations. Now I'm here working with a community organization. So two things I would say stood out to me. And one is that when you are a national or international level correspondent, you travel to different parts of a country, you travel to another city when something big happens, or you are deployed to another country and you go there and you work with community reporters. And I'm not here trivializing the work that international correspondents or national correspondents do, because it is at times very risky and it's a lot of work. But I feel that it is maybe visually, if I kind of describe it, it's a top-down view where you are. It's an external view, I would say, of a story. On the other hand, community journalists are embedded within communities, so it is more horizontal, and they are connected to the community. So I would say it is an internal view of the story. And the second thing is that it is national, international correspondents are stars in their own right, but they are still distant from the communities. You people, community media, you are part of the community, so people know you. They can spot you in a supermarket. They can come over to say hello and give you direct feedback. So let's start with kind of this question that share with me anecdotes of when you were given a direct feedback by your viewer or reader or community member.
That only happened this morning.
Helen, yes.
I had to run from my bus because I was stopped. And The resident said that he walks often in Evington Park and with his dog, and he was a bit disturbed to see that people have thrown rice and other food down, and he knows that that is a religious thing that happens, but he said it is a problem because of rats and because of dogs running after the food, and that there's no reason religiously why they can't put the food down in their own gardens rather than in the park where it is a problem.
Okay, so what they expected you to do, they would
expect me to help him write a letter into the next Evington Echo about it.
Just following on from that conversation, I'm thinking if it's an ethnic issue, if it's a religious issue where people are, unknowingly creating an issue because of their religious reasons, perhaps, as well as the Evington Echo letter and almost bulletin about that piece, there could maybe be some sort of language, like some of the radio stuff that you do on Utsav Radio Bindu, that maybe you could give some education about that. You know, if you want to put down, you know, food for the birds or food for the ancestors or whatever you might do, to do it in a more sort of conscious way.
Yes, Nima, you're right. And I keep doing that as well. And people do understand, but sometimes unknowingly, and some of the people do. Those who are believing very deeply in the faith and they think that this is a really very right thing because the birds and animals, they can't having food and they can't go here and there for the food. So we have to serve them, we have to feed them. But people don't understand the situation of the road or the side street, what's happening. And yes, I agree with you as well about the rat. And majority of the problem is rat nowadays. So we all have to definitely show. I will raise this again and again. I keep doing this. I also keep mentioning about the area, the street where we are living. We have to take care of it. And majority of the people, social service, leaders, they are also coming forward and they also speak about it. And yes, you're right, we have to say this lines to keep clean our city every time. And people know this, but still they keep doing so. This is like a top up of our mobile phone, same thing that we have to remind them.
Yeah, and I feel that so somebody coming to Helen and Helen would of course can help them writing a letter or maybe raising the issue in Evington Echo, but she have to be very, very careful. On the other hand, if Nima and Bindu, you can jump in because the community, you know, it's like you can take the ownership and you can tell the community this is not. So then I think the messaging would be very different and probably more effective and less. Sometimes people get offended if somebody else tells them that, you know, this is probably it's not a right practice, and people can sometimes take offense that, you know, maybe it's because of religious or cultural sensitivities.
I just think we've got to be conscious of the power that media has, community media has. You know, you can have a multi-pronged approach. And I'm you know, putting race aside, even if we look at my teenage children, I could be talking to them all night about waking up in the morning and behaving in a certain way, eating a certain way, studying a certain way. They may not listen to me, but if they listen to an influencer or something, somebody that they appreciate, or somebody who is speaking in their language, their teenage language, they get it. They feel understood. So it's not to say that we're saying different things or that they are dismissing your concerns over somebody else's. It's just sometimes the resonate, they, you know, the language might resonate in a different way being heard by a different person. So multi-pronged for sure.
And give me your story or...
We set up Leicester Stories of Hope in response to civil disobedience that took place on the streets of Leicester in 2022. It was... You know, like we were just saying, it was something that didn't resonate with us as people of the city, people that have, you know, I've lived here for over 20 years. Rabia, my co-founder of Leicester Stories of Hope, has also lived here. And we felt that this was not reflective of our city. It's not reflective of how our communities live together and are meant to live together. But we also found that the fear and the disobedience was being caused by misinformation which was being shared via things like WhatsApp, you know, other media networks, other community networks, which weren't, you know, maybe siding with one or another or trying to create issues amongst communities. So we decided to rein in and use media for good. We thought if people are listening to social media or people that they resonate with, let's use social media in a way to remind people of the ways that we work together as communities, as British Asian people living together within this city with lots of different ethnicities and backgrounds. So we made a call, an immediate call for people to start sharing their stories of hope, which were examples of people living and working together well.
Thank you, Nima. I'm also part of Leicester Story of Hope, and we are a group, and we are working together. Actually, we are not having that much time to see each other, and luckily, this week we are celebrating International Women's Day. In that case, we are also collaborating and also have decided to see each other and having a good conversation. In past, we had good conversation. We also decided about the different street where we live. We have to take care of it. And I do agree with you. When protest was happened, that time was really very scary for every person. It's not from the one house or other family. And I have seen them because everything was happening in front of my house. I've seen because that's a temple where very heavy protest. The people were overcrowded and they have destroyed the wall. They have disturbed the flag. Many things was happened. Yes, so we have to take care of it. And I agree that when we are speaking on media or, as you said, the language of the children, when we speak in their language, they understand more than we speak.
So Bindu, you are a radio presenter.
Yes.
Yes. So yes. The relationship of your audience is through your voice. But have you had any experience where people...
In person,
where they have recognized you through your voice and would have come over to you and give you some feedback on your...
Yes.
Presentation.
Yeah. Yes. Eva FM, when I'm doing my show... It's not only show, it's like mental health well-being show. People are literally waiting for weekend. I used to do only Saturday and Sunday, 8 to 10. And people, they don't wake up early, but especially for the radio show to listen it, they wake up. And when they see me, it's not often we are seeing each other. Rarely I've seen few of my listeners. Otherwise, I am not fan to, and also not keen to post my photo radio page, Facebook. Yeah, people keep doing that, but I'm only presenting my show, and my page is like as a form of flyer. So people say that, you know, when you're coming and you're presenting radio, you're making our day and whole our week is going so good. That old words we are remembering, that's the old positivity, the thoughts which you are giving to us, the songs which is bringing joy to us, that is bringing happiness to our home and in our family as well, because your voice is like mind-blowing. Whole our house is just like with the musical therapy, with talk therapy. It's 2 hours. We want you to stay more hours here with you. So that was the feedback. And I love to do that. Obviously, that is a volunteer work, which is not paid, but it's more than the paid work. We have to go in deep with the different event festivals which is coming up. We have to study about it. Sometimes we are not aware about the the awareness about the Salt Week is going on throughout the world. International Salt Week, which has started from the 4th of the March till 11th of March, and Mental Health of the Parents Week is started from today. It's till 12th of March. So these both are also very affecting to our family, our community, which is very important for our health, mental health and physical health.
And Eva Radio is a multilingual radio.
Yes.
It is talk radio and also music. Yes. You do music programming.
Yes, yes. Mm. Currently, I'm working with the Radio Utsav because they have given me 4 days. And 4 days is very tough for me with the work. I'm working as well, so doing the radio show and to manage work and also housework. Yeah. So that is a bit complicated to me. So at the moment, currently, I'm not doing show with Eva. I'm just with the Radio Utsav at the moment.
So this I find really profound is that this community media work and any kind of community work, it is not materially that rewarding, but it is rewarding in other way. I mean, that you are doing something, and Helen, you.
I get a lot of people coming to me because of living in the area where I write and producing written material rather than on radio. And one example is that a lot of the people that read it, because I'm old, so it does have an emphasis on up for old people, and they come to me because they think I'm much better at IT than they are, but I'm still struggling. But so they say, these cars are parked in the wrong place, or this car hasn't got a license, or this car's run into the war memorial, which happened only a few days ago, this business has put a sign up in the street, and he's an estate agent, and he's put this sign up on a lovely roundabout where volunteers have been looking after it, so it spoils the look. And so then I just use Love Clean Streets, the app, to be the person that reports it. And I do feel sometimes frustrated because why can't they do it themselves? But I think they like to come to me and talk about it.
Yes, so sometimes it's also part of therapy that you go to a person and you talk to them and you get it out of your system, and then it's Helen's problem to deal with it.
Yes.
But Helen, I mean, some people can say that you can have an easy life. You have created a legacy. You have worked for so long.
Yes.
What keeps you going?
What keeps me going is the fact that I've met up with Rob, and I can see a way of it being this project, which I have put my life into, being sustainable and perhaps more involving other people in doing the work and being clear on roles and responsibilities that Rob is starting to help with, so that I can take retirement. I don't have to feel that they want me to go on until I'm 100 or something.
Though it seems that they want you to go on forever.
Yes.
I was quite inspired when I came to your house. It was many years ago to learn about, I think it was the next issue at that point. It was a more like an editorial brainstorming sort of event. I was really inspired by the amount of young people that were putting their hands up to try and, get a byline or get some editorial work going or come and help with distribution, etc. So I think, you talk about yourself being of a different generation, but your work has certainly inspired and continues to inspire younger people who may want to grow up and write for a broadsheet or for a more national magazine or newspaper. But the fact is, most of us cut our teeth in community media. And you've allowed that to happen because there's just not that outlet anymore. Before people go to university and set it up themselves, there's like you've created a template and an agency.
It had a fault though, because it hadn't got a training program for the young people, and that looking forward, that's what needs to happen.
But you have just got a very good feedback on your work, Helen.
Thank
that's
you.
That's the power, the power of, you know, community media, I would say.
Thank you.
So, Nima, your project, Hate Not Hope, or
it's
Stories.
Leicester Stories it's, of Hope.
Oh, sorry, I always mixed it up.
Yeah, we're a lot smaller than Hate Not
Hope. Yeah, that's really big. It's, I think probably it's a national level project. Yeah. So, and you started at a very crucial time. And we will talk about the role of community media during conflicts. But talking about feedback, so did you get some good feedback from the community? Or when those women who were so anxious came to you and got that opportunity where they could bond, but also share that moment of anxiety together, vulnerability together, how did it feel like?
Well, initially it was just a request to submit stories. So people, you know, we were eagerly waiting for the next story to come in. We started sharing our own initially. It was, you know, talking about neighbors helping each other, or people sharing food, people sharing festivals, people celebrating Christmas together, and then Ramadan and Eid and Diwali and Janmashtami, etc. So all of these cool stories started coming together, and that in itself inspired others to share their stories. People see a story and think, well, yeah, I have an experience. Let me share where, you know, somebody helped with clearing rubbish, or, you know, sorting out an issue in the village or whatever. So there was that natural resonance people felt with a good news story. And because we did that for a few weeks, and this was immediately after the unrest that took place in Leicester. It was almost like light coming at a time of quite darkness within our city. So we were sharing, you know, our point was to reassure people that there are good people of both communities where we can, do good things with each other and for each other. And those stories were coming quite strongly at that time. So then we started to meet in person after that. So I think when you'd almost created that reassurance through good news stories, then when we finally did come together, and Bindu was one of the ladies that did come together, we restricted it to 12 ladies at that time. And it was specifically ladies because we felt that women have a very specific and crucial role within the family, and especially in peace building. So when we did finally come together, I felt that we came with a level of respect for each other's experiences and each other's fears and hopes as well. And it became a safe space where you could share what you were uncomfortable with as well as what you wanted.
Bindu, you just told us that it's whatever you do, it's on voluntary basis, and it is, and you work around, use music for mental well-being, right? How do you get inspired to do this work?
Actually, inspiration was from childhood. I was looking forward to work with the radio when I was very young, and listening Prabhatia with my grandpa. Prabhatia is a morning music in our Gujarati, it says, and I love to hear with the music tone and the language, and the therapy is given is absolutely whatever the script, the lyrics is giving us education of our life. And that has inspired me. And I always ask my grandpa, can we go to the radio station and can we talk to the people? Can we do discussion on the radio and we can improve the society, the mentality? Majority of the people has got the mentality is very narrow. Some has a negativity. And as you said, like with the faith, believe in faith, and still somewhere people are trying, organization are trying, groups are trying, but still there is something is behind. So that has inspired me, and music is my hobby. I love to listen every time, even though my study time, even I'm working, I'm cooking, or I'm sleeping. I love music always with me. So that has inspired, and after coming in the radio, people has inspired me. My most of the income is the love, hug, and the blessings, and best to the thing which they are sending warm wishes and the greetings to me. That is my income. It's priceless. I can't even count with money to it.
Mm. Helen, how the idea of Evington Echo came about, and why you decided to take on the role of the editor?
Yeah. Well, it's an amazing story, really, how it started, because a librarian and a community tutor sat down together and said, wouldn't it be nice if Evington had a community newspaper? Mm-hmm. So they put a few rather tatty notes, I understand, through a few doors, calling a meeting at the library, the local library, Evington Library, and failed to turn up themselves. So, I think...
So it's always women, you know, who come forward to rescue.
Yeah, and it was women who came forward. And they all sat round the table and said, well, does anybody know anything about writing, doing community newspaper? And they all said, no, we don't know anything. Mm-hmm. So they thought, well, we'll have to go back. We can't do it, you know. And then one lady sort of stood up and said, do you know, I think we could do something about this. And the amazing thing is that they wrote how they thought the Echo would continue on that first edition that came out. And they'd met in early, it came out in May 1981. Wow. So it's been going for 43 years. And it was initially a foolscap paper, black and white, and it's changed a lot since then. It's had ups and downs, as you can imagine, and the changes in the people who now live around. Evington is actually described as one of the areas where there is a lot of different cultures living next door to each other. And so it's been changing in terms of who's writing in as well. And I think the changes that we will bring in soon, with working much more closely with other groups like you've got, and making sure that we actually know exactly what jobs we're doing, and it's much clearer, because I do feel that I work far too hard on it at the minute, and then that doesn't, and then it's going to be difficult for other people to take over if I'm doing too much. So we're working on it.
Wonderful.
Change.
Thank you. It was such a lovely story. So do you feel, and it's a question anybody can, you know, answer this question, do you feel that women's perspectives change the kind of stories that get told?
Yes.
Go ahead, Nima.
I suppose I could speak about the role of women a little bit here, you know, the reason why we did create Leicester Stories of Hope specifically for women initially, although we have extended now to include men and young people of both male and female. But we felt that women they tend to bear the brunt of when there are issues in the community, because they try to steady the ship. They have a great sense of you know, holding fort, holding the home together, holding the family together, in a way that actually men, they do it, of course, but the women are the beating sort of heart of not only their own homes, but of their communities. So we felt that women bring a sense of fluidity in conversation, in that they're not attached to being right or wrong. And that's not the end of the story for women. Women can be fluid in that if they don't agree with something, they can almost change perspective and somehow come back to what feels right for them. And that, to me, was not a weakness. It was a strength. So to bring women together was almost a recognition of the strength that women bring to whatever work they're doing. You know, as you said, Helen, you've had to change and evolve the Evington Echo in so many different ways, rather than being, you know, so rigid that, well, no, it's got to be this way and this is the way it's always been. You've got to be quite malleable in a sort of gentle way to achieve a purpose.
Yeah, I would say the way women came together during those, you know, very tense days.
Yes.
In 2022, it was so kind of inspiring. Yeah, Bindu.
And that time was a woman only can do that, that we have decided in our group, that what we were discussing, to improve our straight mentality.
Yes.
That was, we all have decided. So we all coming from the different street. So we all have take that challenge. And it has improved. Yes. It has worked. It has really worked so nicely. And this only woman can do, I would say. Yes, obviously, every woman has got the backup with the man. But there's also strategy with women. They are carrying. They're having that strength. And that woman can do. And we all are for each other. It's not for a single community, it's for all multilingual community. We always support each other, we always help each other, and that's what we are doing in Leicester.
And Bindu, you have mentioned multilingualism. How does multilingual radio help women feel represented and heard? And do women listeners respond differently to women presenters?
Actually, I have not that experience, but yes, women do. Some of the ladies there talk about like the family, what the issue is going, but that's not broadcasting. We are listening them. So in that way, we are listening. We are giving them time, that the listening time. And it's very hard while presenting the radio and listening them also what we are presenting, what the lineup for the music. We have to prepare that, the script, what we are talking, or we have to just print in our head and we have to just go ahead with. It's all multilingual, the work which we have to create. Yes, I have got that experience, and few of the ladies, they are really, really, after this, my radio show, they have changed their mind. What the perspective they have got behind, and after talking to me, after listening to me, there is no fees, no money. As a radio presenter, it's a volunteer, and even the mental well-being, that is helping the ladies, and that is my main, like, you know, I would like, I don't have a word to express my feelings. It's like my huge income when they're improving their mental health, when they are living happily with the family. That's a huge income. At least I'm not going inside the house of family. At least through my radio show, at least two family, they are happy.
Yeah, you're yes, creating Nima. A difference. Yes, Nima.
I'm not a broadcaster like you are, but I spoke a couple of weeks ago on National Radio Day about the power of radio. You know, I was not a massive radio listener, but it was during a period where I felt incredibly lonely because I had very small children. I was just rushing around, taking them to their activities and etc. Was, you know, not having the same sort of conversations that I normally would have in the workplace or back at home, etc. And it was then I remember coming out of a Sure Start event or something, and I just switched on the radio and just hearing voices that sounded like they had the same feelings as mine, especially like you're saying, you know, when you hear a woman speaking and they talk about doing the washing after a rugby match, or would they talk about ferrying their own kids around, or they talk about the challenges they might have when they reach a certain age, that resonates with you because you feel heard, you feel represented in hearing the voice of another woman. So that's, and of course that reflects, you know, whether you're talking radio or TV or in print. But for me at that time, radio was, I would say, a lifesaver, because just hearing those voices that were, it gave me adult conversation for a start. I was able to have an adult conversation where I was otherwise listening to nursery rhymes all day. So I you know, there's such value in those sort of voices that, that can get come into your into the homes that you don't know who it's saving when it comes to loneliness and isolation.
Yes, Nima, I agree. And yesterday when I have finished, it was the last day of my session, baby massage and also healthy eating with the toddlers. So two session, morning and the afternoon session, the both the group were so happy. So it's not only from the radio, through the broadcasting or the media. When we see the people and they give that comment, the feedback that we were hearing you, we love to hear you again and again. And it's not only the radio presenter, but how you present here, you delivering your skills, like how we are learning our children. They are excited. They were not eating the food which you are teaching us here from the scratch. And this is all bringing joy to us. It's bringing community together. It's not from like India or from Pakistan. It's throughout the world people are coming and they're joining us. So this is like, you know, absolutely amazing when that says that you are doing good job, you are doing really very good work, we are listening you, we are very happy to listen to your music. And after that, the feedback of the session, when they complete it, they're receiving certificates and going happy with a happy face with the children. That's amazing.
That's really rewarding. Nima, you have alluded to representation. Do you think women are sufficiently represented in community media, or do you see that there are gaps?
There are always gaps, but I do think that the media does try to get a reflection of men and women together, especially in community radio, community media, sorry. I think women tend to hold the mantle a little bit as well. They're more sort of willing to put their heart and their minds and souls to something that does, you know, serve the community. So I wouldn't say it's something that I wouldn't say it's media as a whole doesn't have enough representation, but community radio I think has more women than. You know, than you know, sort of more organized media that we might be used to.
And why is that?
Because they're putting their hands up and saying we can do this. You know, where other people might not be turning up, the women are saying, well, yeah, we can do this. We can, you know, maintain a whether it's you know a newsletter or a newspaper or a pamphlet or a radio station. And they can work it around their normal lives, their working lives, their family lives. It's women being able to, you know, multitask.
But
I'd like to add, Helen, that there are now with the internet and everything, it is a lot easier for women to teach themselves new skills.
Mm. Yeah, good point.
And I my kind of follow-up question is that I think that money is also a factor. In some cases, women feel that they are not the main breadwinners of the family because there are no careers. It's not a career. It's more like social work, community media, and it's not lucrative. So do you think that that also plays a role in that? Yeah. You say that?
Yes, definitely. I don't think I could have done it without having my independence with money.
Agree. And this new technology with the new demand, always bread and butter is very important to survive in this life, and women can move without it. And only women can do, I would say here, because sometimes men get tired after doing few tasks. They will say, oh, I'm done for today. I can't make other tasks. But the woman always say, okay, it's okay, I will do it. And till she is not getting sleepy or then head and body saying, no, now I can move, then only she stop and for a while. But again, she will like grab all energy and again it will start. And the best example is Helen here.
Yes.
I cannot believe that how long you were working here with the Evington. This is the best example for each and every area as well.
And we don't want to make you feel old or anything. It's that we get inspired by your energy.
You're evergreen, Helen. Yes. Really evergreen. And you are helping, supporting community. This is the best example for everyone, each community.
When it comes to, like you're saying, women should be breadwinners too. It's not say that they
no.
should
No, I said in some cases they feel that they have that space where they can work. Absolutely, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Every woman should have economic independence.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe in that, yeah. But I do feel that women can they can be quite creative in how they use their time in terms of being able to do something that benefits the community and understanding, like with any business, there'll be lots of ups and downs, and there's going to be periods where you don't have money, and there's going to be periods where, you know, you could potentially fold. But if you need that passion to keep something going, that's going to be different to receiving a salary from somewhere.
So we have already discussed, and you have shared experiences about the 2022 unrest in Leicester. The role of community media during conflicts, and I think it's also, you know, part of my research. So, Helen, what did you do at Evington Echo after the unrest, and how did you maintain the balance where you were able to tell the story but without causing any harm?
Well, when it first learnt about it, we were writing articles about why the community was important, why peace was important, and tried to get the message out like that. I went with Rob as well to the inquiry and sat in for the first couple of sessions and made notes on that. And I felt then that everybody that was speaking was truthful. And it started to give me a little bit of a picture of what might have happened, although I haven't got the full picture yet, and I don't think we will do until we get the next report out, which I'm hoping will be a little bit more hard-hitting in terms of what actually happened, because that I think there are people that are quite high up in our society that need to take more responsibility for what happened than that report came out with. And so now what I've done is use the we'll do the website and the thing just to give a sort of outline of where we're at the minute. And and alongside that, because there's always different strands of how you can approach a problem. And another problem is that we have been looking at finding a partner that will fund us so that we can have a building that will be there for and follow our objects for community and environment, and people can come together and help us. And I think that will mean that that the other things are we've got a centre base, I think, will make all the difference. And we hope then we get radio in there as well, and but it will be for the local community and maybe a model for how it can continue in other communities.
And that was quite a unique Evington is quite a unique area when we talk about these tensions that took place in 2022, because they were specifically between the Hindu and Muslim communities, and Evington is home to the Hindu and Muslim communities in large swathes. It's also home to the first Hindu school in Leicester.
And we've got the largest percentage of Sikhs as well.
Yes, absolutely. But in terms of tension between the communities, because ultimately the communities want to live together, and you know, to some degree, what happened doesn't necessarily reflect them. So it's quite good that you took the line of, you know, working together and living together in peace, and how important that is within a neighbourhood.
Anima, Helen has mentioned approach, how you approach a story. I think it makes a lot of difference. So do women bring a different approach to reporting or dealing with conflict? You have done some work with communities. So what is your experience?
So in terms of a story, that, I mean, there's so many different angles that women can take, or people can take in general. You know, you could be your hard-nosed, this is happening and it's because of a cricket match, or because there is something horrible going on in society. Or you can look around the different elements and angles that can bring together different elements that can affect the society that we live in, you know, whether that's socioeconomic, whether that's, you know, the shutting down of Sure Start and, you know, children's provision, whether that's bringing young parents together so that they understand that the other community is not an alien, whether, you know, I think women tend to be affected by these changes and cuts and, you know, whatever goes on in their city. They're affected by them, and that therefore they look at things through that vision. It's not going to necessarily be as hard-nosed. They'll experience, like I talked about, isolation. You know, I experienced isolation at that time because I was a young mother and I wasn't in work, you know, in terms of, you know, I wasn't having the banter of the workplace, and I was new to Leicester, so I didn't have an established neighbourhood. So all of these elements can create conflict. And me experiencing that, realized that I could be my own bubble and hearing just one side of things, or I can look at the external elements that do bring together an issue, or raise an issue, or bring an issue to the fore that we might need to look at.
And radio is a very intimate and close media.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's media, and I think that radio has, and Bindu, you can also kind of chip in, that it can music and music radio especially can bridge divides that no one else can do probably.
Music and talk, they both goes together, and that is the bridge, goes to the heart of the listener or the community, I would say here. Otherwise, it won't be like the people. Nowadays, you know, we have got multi of the radio stations, and people are also getting confused which radio we have to tune in, where they tune in, and where they are like friendly with the voice, they're allowed to stay there. So it's very hard at this age, I would say. The technology has improved. People also have started to do radio, and they also start to buy that radio license. They are doing from home. So this is all radio station. But yes, we try our best with the to connect to the community, to speak out with the community, to stick with each and everyone, and also make a change in the life. And new generation, always we are looking forward to bring them in a very with high hope. And current happening through last 3-4 days in the school, which we have heard, it's a very big tension for the community, not only for the Leicester, throughout the UK the news are coming up. That's a worried point for parents as well.
So I'm not speaking necessarily about the media, but because you raised the question of music and how that brings people together.
Yes.
I just wanted to, again, it's a story of hope, but one of our events was a team building event where we got Hindu and Muslim women together we had a conversation. We talked in depth about the issues and talked about ourselves and what brings us closer. But then we had a team building activity, which was all around drumming. We learned African drumming together. And that was far out, because at that point we'd had a conversation about good and bad things. We had a lunch, and then we started playing these drums, and it was the most fun I've had in ages. Because for a start, I was sitting next to a Muslim lady who I didn't know until that day. And there were just things. We started making jokes. We had a giggle together. We had a laugh. We shared the same appreciation for funny things. And then effectively we were playing in sync. And for me, that it was a very vivid
concept that there might be so many things that we don't agree with, but there's so much more that we do agree with. And the fact that we could then create a rhythm together and play drums together, and learn to do something together and laugh about it and smile through it and come out of it smiling was such a bridge builder. And that was the power of music.
I would say here, power of music is each and every, I would not say it's only the happiness bringing to you. Even though you are sad, you're upset, or if you are depressed, music will definitely lift you up.
And I want to add that there are other things besides music. And one of the things that I'd really like to see happening is community gardening.
Yes, yes, definitely.
And that is what I want to be able to.
The appreciation of nature, right?
And that is where we are struggling because. At the minute, our environmental project is just getting patches of land that the council agree we look after on their behalf, really. Mm. And we really do need some land that is ours, that we can make decisions together more easily and work it that way.
I love this. I love your idea about the community garden, and why don't we start to do small little garden in front of our space? If we have got some of the space in front or the backyard, we can start to improve that environment, and we can encourage the people in society nearby our or neighbor, they can grow more, and we can start to grow and glow together.
So Helen has just given you a next topic for your show.
Yeah. Yes,
you can motivate.
Yes, Helen.
Yeah, and
thank you for that.
And Helen's, I've visited Helen. There is, you know, you would see a plant in every kind of corner in her house. It is so beautiful, surrounded by nature.
Well, it's what we've done in the village. We've got loads of containers now with flowers, but it's how we. Sustain that is going to be the big issue now.
See, Evington, I feel that when I very similar to where I live in South Knighton, there are, as you drive through, you know, I do drive through, I don't walk through enough, but as you do drive through, you do get a sense that this is a village that is taken care of. You can feel and see, whether it's flowers, whether it's the war memorial, whether it's the you know, the signposting, etc. You do get a sense that, you know, putting aside the houses and putting aside what people do in their own homes, you do get a feeling that this place is loved. And that is, you know, obviously for you to build that sense of ownership and collaboration between people that live, work and serve in Evington, I think is kudos to you, Helen.
I'm not sure. There's a lot wrong, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Always, yeah.
And I think that I hope that it should be replicated to, you know, other parts of the city as well, you know.
100%.
So I think we are coming to almost an end. So I would ask you to give some advice to young women thinking about getting involved in community media, and tell them something you wish someone had told you when you started. Who would go first? Nima?
Well, I'm in the media in terms of I've always wanted to be a media person, and I'm grateful that when I was at school and I didn't know what to do and I happened to be able to be decent at writing, decent, I say, Helen, not great, somebody suggested media to me. Somebody suggested journalism, and it was a careers advisor in Wembley High, and I was drawn to it. And just seeing at that time, seeing that I could print something that somebody else could read and appreciate was reassuring and uplifting. And I've continued to do that throughout my life, whether it's little bits on radio, whether it's the odd written piece, whether it's Pause for Thought on the radio. I do enjoy doing that because it's my opportunity to, even if it means sharing a little bit of goodness or hope or a reflection, that I can, that somebody else might be able to resonate with, I think is really good. So whether it's paid, whether it becomes, you know, you whether you want to become a war correspondent or, you know, which I'm sure there are many more of those jobs right now, sadly, whether you want to do something, you know, hard hitting in that sense, or whether you want to hold the reins and support an existing project or create one of your own, or create a podcast, or create some kind of media, I would suggest doing it 101%. I mean, I'm a massive rugby fan, and you know the women are certainly getting a bigger voice when it comes to women in rugby, and you know it that then becomes inspiring for the next generation. So yeah, absolutely, young people, do it and continue passing the mantle on.
And you don't have to be in the BBC to create a difference. I think that's
no, and I'm yeah. and I'm learning that yeah. as I you know the older I get.
Helen,
well, two things really. The first is, if you feel very angry about something, give it 24 hours before you actually act on it.
There's other, wow!
Yeah,
such a wonderful advice.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I wish I'd done more of is work. Think things through and work on a strategy before jumping in. So it's really advice of not to jump in too quick sometimes.
Don't attack a country without having a strategy.
Yes.
yeah, you said it.
Bindu, yes.
I agree with you, Helen. Always give 24 hours. That is 100% effect. And it's applied to each and every human being. Because sometimes nowadays, you know, mainly young age and new generation, and especially new mom, they are very desperate to learn new things, and also they instantly they are also keeping it down. They're not trying their best even in a relationship or going outside and maintaining the job roles. It's very hard, or in a society or in a community. So yes, this is very good advice, Helen. I would say stay calm till 24 years. Wait for the result.
24 hours.
Sorry.
24
yes,
years.
I'm sorry, not years, hours. Yes, yes. 24 hours, one day, and it will give you a result.
Yes, Nima.
Sticking with the 24 hours, in terms of calm and being responsible for what you put out as a media, you know, right now with social media, everyone has a voice. And understand that everybody has a responsibility with that voice. So you can use media for good. You can also use media to be very, very destructive. Mm-hmm. So if you are feeling angry, if you are feeling upset, be measured. Don't fall into what some of our tabloids are doing to tear us apart, to make us feel as if we're under attack, to make us feel as if we have to attack. That I'm reflecting on your 24 hours here, that right now we have been given a podium in so many different ways, whether it's radio, whether it's podcast, whether it's you know our social media handles. Think about what you're putting out, because you don't know who that's going to impact in terms of their mental health, whether it's going to appeal to their victimization or their sort of vulnerabilities. Understand that you might be doing something that could create much more destruction. So if you can, if you don't want to say something positive, hold back for a little while.
So as we come to the end of today's conversation, I would like to thank my guests. Thank you for sharing your stories. And I found them truly inspiring. I also want to acknowledge Rob Watson, who is the director of Decentered Media and Source Sound, for providing technical support for this podcast. And to our listeners, I hope you have enjoyed the discussion. Women are bridges, they are peacemakers, they are a binding force within communities. So they should have more representation in media. Their voices should be mainstreamed, but they should also have more agency in shaping narratives, which means that they should be involved in the, from the ground level to the top in different roles in media, and in every aspect of life. And I think it's more important for a city like Leicester, which is so diverse, and diversity is strength. But it can sometimes make cities and places more prone to or vulnerable to conflicts, and these conflicts can be organic and internal, but it can also be sometimes pushed from the outside. So I think women are doing a great job in community media in Leicester, but there is still a lot to do. And why not to let's leave everybody with the provocation? Why don't you know you have all women radio station, which is led by women, run by women, and it. Of course, it covers, you know, culture and music, but also taps into, you know, more serious social issues and difficult conversations, providing a safe space where people can come and maybe a consensus can be created. So I will leave it there. Happy International Women's Day to all beautiful women out there and their allies. Stay well. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time.
Thank you.